It was Charlie Bean, who, apart from having a sort of mildly humorous name, is the Deputy Governor of the Bank of England, who said this about the current economic crisis that we're in, that it's the largest financial crisis of its kind in human history. The largest financial crisis of its kind in human history. Well, I don't know whether he's right or wrong in that measure, but I do know these things, that unemployment is up over 2 million, and it could rise by up to 100,000 a month in the next year, they're predicting. That mortgage lending is at a record low. That high prices on food and fuel are impacting all of us when we go to the supermarket. There's fears that the recession could spark civil unrest. All of which perhaps makes it slightly odd to be talking about hope in that kind of a context. Slightly odd to be talking about hope. There have, of course, been some signs of hope for some people. So the recession has been good news if... For example, you work for Morrisons because their profits are up 7%. Or if you happen to work in Grimsby and the docks, they're having a boom that they've never had for decades. Something to do with the banking crisis in Iceland. I don't really know how that works out, but that's somehow what's happening. Or it's good news if you're one of those people that likes using clever words and phrases that make you sound more intelligent than you really are. Because after all, this has been the recession that has brought us quantitative easing. I was really scared I wasn't going to pronounce that properly. Credit crunch and liquidity crisis, whatever those things mean. But they're great things to just drop into the conversation, aren't they? It's also, I guess, been good news if you're the owner of a bar or a club in Sheffield City Centre, where actually intake and spending on alcohol has risen since the economic crisis. Either we're drinking to drown our sorrows, or people are just thinking, well, why am I going to bother to save when the interest rates are so low? But those bits of good news for a few people don't override the general sense of unease and bad news that I guess the majority of us have. And this economic crisis, I guess most of us have the feeling that at some level it's going to affect us. And we're probably right. 10% of UK firms are freezing their wages. 10%. That's bound to affect quite a large percentage of us here, isn't it? And in the few people that are benefiting from it, there's no good news for people who have lost their job, people who are facing maybe long-term unemployment because the industry that they're a part of has closed down altogether, or people who have been made unemployed perhaps later on in life where it's difficult to retrain. So in the context of all of that, is there any hope? Is there any hope? I want to suggest that what I believe, which is that the Bible does offer us a message of hope for us in this context of an economic crisis. The Bible does offer us a message of hope, not because the Bible and the message of Christianity promises us immediate prosperity, as if you trust God and it means all your financial worries will be over. Now, Christianity does offer lots of practical help and comfort for people who are in financial need. And if you're someone who's struggling with financial hardship, then maybe we can talk about some of those kind of questions about how Christianity does relate to those issues at a very practical level when we come to the discussion time. But I guess what I want to focus on in my few minutes is the bigger picture of hope, the bigger picture of hope that Christianity has to offer that does meet us in the middle of this economic crisis. See, in the Bible we get these words. They're from the pen of an early Christian missionary, one of the people that Jesus appointed to be his messengers, to spread his message throughout the globe. And the person says this: "As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy." If you have a Bible at home, that's in 1 Timothy 6:17. Says not to set their hopes on riches. And he's talking about rich people. I mean, if anyone can set their hopes for the future, plan all of their dreams on the basis of their personal wealth, if anyone can do that, surely it's rich people, isn't it? But the Bible says, well, not so. Why? Because riches are uncertain. They're unreliable. And that's no basis for hope, the Bible says. Now, if there's anything that this economic crisis has taught us, it's that money, wealth, riches, they're uncertain, aren't they? They're uncertain. Even for the richest people, it's actually some of the richest people that have been hit first and hit quite hard by this economic crisis. It's people like Alex Ferguson, the manager of Man United, who's lost a heck of a lot of money. And the owner of Newcastle United Football Club has lost a lot of money as well. The uncertainty of wealth and riches. Because, for example, I mean, we all experience this uncertainty. Maybe our savings or our pension are being eroded at the moment. That hard-earned money that we've put away is being eroded because of the interest rates. Or our money has been mishandled and misused by greedy bankers. Money's uncertain. Or our wage slip this month has the same figure on it, but it's worth less than the wage that we had last month because of rising inflation. See the uncertainty of wealth and of money. What we've got today isn't necessarily a guarantee for tomorrow. Your job can be secure today, but tomorrow? Well, who knows? Riches and money are uncertain. And you see, if we do base all of our hope for the future, if our hope and our dreams for the future are all about the things that money can buy, education, the lifestyle it can bring us, the security for the future or in our old age maybe that money can give us, if that's where all of our hopes are, then that's actually an uncertain basis for the future, isn't it? It's uncertain. There's no guarantee. When an economic crisis comes along, those hopes can be called into question, can't they? They can become shaky, uncertain themselves. Or, you know, maybe the hopes and the dreams are dashed altogether. And that's something extremely hard to deal with. So what can we put our hope in? Well, that verse that I read out said, don't put your hope in riches, but in God. After all, he richly provides us with everything that we enjoy. Everything that we enjoy in this world comes to us not because we have some kind of automatic right to it, but because it's a gift from the God who made it and made us. And that's from the stuff that is good that money can buy, like Bob Dylan's albums and bottles of Chateau Neuf de Pape. And the things that money can't buy, like friendship and love, sunshine, springtime. All of those things come as a gift from God. And a God who is a good giver is far more reliable for the future, isn't he, than riches. Well, what am I saying? Am I saying, trust God and all your money troubles are over? As if God is some kind of celestial social security scheme. Well, no, not at all. You see, the Bible presents hope in God as an alternative to hope in money. He's not a patch-up to hope in money. He's an alternative to it. Whereas hope in money is uncertain, hope in God provides a different kind of hope for the future that is far more certain. See, the God who provides us with so much now has promised for all those who hope in him a perfect future and a perfect world where there won't be any poverty, there won't be any material lack, there won't be anybody needy, there won't be anybody going hungry. That's what he's promised for those who hope in him. So we could rest all of our hopes for the future on President Barack, the audacity of hope, Obama. Or Prime Minister Flash Gordon Brown, who not only saved the banking system, he saved the world. Or so he'd have us believe. But you see, we could hang all of our hopes on the fact that their spending of our money and giving it to banks who've already faffed around with our money will get us out of this problem. And actually, in one sense, it'd be wonderful if that did work, wouldn't it? That would be a relief. But the point is, maybe we should think that this economic crisis is asking us a question. Maybe we should let this cause us to pause and wonder. Is money and wealth and the things that we can buy with it and the future we can hope for from it so sure after all? Is it really worth having all of our hopes for the future bound up in something that's so certain? A recession just shows us the tip of the iceberg in the uncertainty of money, I would suggest. Because after all, what good will all of our money do us when we're dead and gone? What future can our money give us then? What security can it give us then? See, however long or however bad this recession is, and however little or however much you and I suffer from it, there is always going to be a limitation to what money can buy. Whereas the Bible says there is real life and an eternal future for those who hope in God. The God that we meet in his Son Jesus Christ, the Bible says this about him. That though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich. See, although as the Son of God, Jesus could have stayed up in heaven, enjoying all the riches of his status there, he entered into our world and became poor. He knew real poverty, the kind of poverty where you're homeless, that kind of poverty. Although he owns the whole world, he didn't own one scrap of property when he came and lived as a man. And why did he do it? Well, he did it so that through his poverty we might become rich. He did it to identify with our mess. He did it to identify with our situation. He did it to step into our shoes. He did it to experience our brokenness. And he did it ultimately to die our death. The death that we deserve because we've ignored and rejected the God who made us. We've taken his gifts and we've not even bothered to thank him. Well, Jesus, the Son of God, died the death that we deserve for that. In other words, the Bible uses the language of us being spiritually bankrupt and in massive debt with God. And yet that's a debt that Jesus paid himself by dying the death that we ought to have died. So that we by his poverty might become rich. He stepped into our shoes so that we can step into his. God promises for all who hope in him the riches of a new creation, a perfect future of prosperity, of provision, of happiness. Stuff that money can't buy actually. See, the economic crisis that we're in, I'm going to suggest, ought to make us pause and think. What is the purpose of our lives? What is the purpose of life? Where is our hope? Is it in money and wealth and the stuff that it can buy? Or is it in God? Thank you very much. You've listened very well.